Let's talk about something every girl wants. Healthy, glowing skin that looks and feels good. And that's where Dionys Goat Milk Skincare comes in. I was introduced to Dionys earlier this year when I visited their farm, and I got to test out all kinds of products, from hand creams to body lotion, skincare, and their new lip masks, just to name a few. After I went to the farm, I learned that goat milk is loaded with vitamins and nutrients, which is so nourishing for your skin, and I also learned that we share the same pH as goats, which is why Dionys' products moisturize so well and never leave a greasy feel. I've been using and loving the goat butter lip mask, the vanilla bean being my favorite. And honestly, it's been a game changer. Everyone's always asking what I use on my lips, and there's truly nothing like it. It gives you the softest, most hydrated lips ever, and it actually lasts, unlike every other lip balm and mask I've tried before that I constantly have to reapply. But what I especially love about Dionys is that it's clean, cruelty-free, and designed to be simple. Plus, it's women-founded and women-led, and if there's one thing I've made clear on For the Girls, it's that we support the girls. These women know their stuff, and I love everything they do. So if you want to give your skin a little extra love today, check out Dionys Goat Milk Skincare. You can find them at DionysGMSkincare.com. That's DionysGMSkincare.com. Use code FTG20 to save 20% off site-wide. Again, that's code FTG20 to save 20% off. 2026 is the year you finally launch your business. The year you transform into the entrepreneur you've always known you can be. One powerful move puts your future firmly in your hands, starting a business with Shopify. Maybe you've got an idea that you just can't shake, or a craft that everyone tells you to sell, or a store that you've already designed in your head. Well, with Shopify, 2026 is when you can finally make it happen. Shopify gives you everything you need to sell online and in person. Millions of entrepreneurs have already made this leap, from household names like Skims and Rode to first-time business owners just getting started, like I once did with my own brand. Shopify gives you all the tools you need to easily build your dream store. Choose from hundreds of beautiful templates that you can customize to match your brand. Setup is fast with Shopify's built-in AI tools that write product descriptions and headlines and help you edit product photos too. Even marketing is built in. Create email and social campaigns that reach customers wherever they scroll. Best of all, as you grow, Shopify grows with you. Handle more orders, expand to new markets, and do it all from the same dashboard. In 2026, stop waiting and start selling with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. That's shopify.com/forthegirls. Hear your first this new year with Shopify by your side.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Percivali. And today is not only another episode of For the Girls, but it is the last episode of 2025. And I cannot believe that I'm even saying that because this year truly flew by. I feel like it was just yesterday that I recorded the I'm Engaged episode, which was a year ago. And I think I ended off, I think that might have been the last episode of 2024. And I think I ended off the year like that. And here we are a year later. Now it's the last episode of 2025. I'm married. So much has changed. So much is coming in 2026. And I'm just like, I feel like I can't get ahead. Like I'm always just like life just keeps happening and I have to just go with it. I'm like, I get myself so worked up and I get myself anxious that like either I'm running out of time or like I can't move fast enough. I don't know what exactly it is, but I just feel like time moves so quickly. And It is mind-blowing to me. Quite frankly, I can recall actually recording my episodes being like, it's the last episode of 2021. It's the last episode of 2022. For some reason, I really, really distinctly remembered the last episode of 2022 being in my Hoboken apartment. Like, I just, and now we're going into 2026. Like, I'm kind of freaked out. I am kind of freaking out. 2026 will be officially 5 years of For the Girls, which is crazy. Started it in, I think, August of 2021. So August of 2026 will be 5 years of For the Girls. And I think, you know, for 5 years, for a new year, I'm like ready to change some stuff up. And not like in some drastic way where, like, you know, the entire concept of this podcast has changed. But lately I'm feeling like, I feel like both inspired and uninspired at the same time. Why I say uninspired, we'll start with that one first, is because I always felt like my content is always like real life, real time, really resonating with me, really relatable to where I'm at in life. So like a lot of you girls found me when I was single. So like all of my dating content and like single girl content was quite literally what I was going through at that exact moment. You could go on my TikTok and see me getting ready for a date. And then you could see the follow-up of how awful that date was. And then I would talk about it and I would share these stories, good, bad, ugly, everything in between. And like, it's so easy to make content out of that when you're really going through it at that time. And like on dating apps, off dating apps, meeting guys in person, I was so savage. I was like screenshotting text messages from people and like making content out of it. I just can't even believe that I was doing that. But you know, like it's so easy to make tons and tons of content when that's what you're going through at the time. And it's like, yes, it's my real life and it was organic, genuine stuff. But at the same time, I was able to create out of it. And I was able to use these real life stories as entertainment, you know? So it's like, it was real. But even when like shit didn't work out and it was like, felt like a total waste of time, I was like, at least I'm getting content out of it. At least I'm getting a story time out of it and I'm getting followers and, you know, whatever out of it. So it was worth it in that regard. However, now, you know, a lot of people still want that type of content from me. They still want that dating content, single girl content, which I will always give dating advice. I believe that I am genuinely good at it. And I think that when you have a gift that could be shared to help and heal people, you should share that gift. So I'm always going to share my gift and my knowledge with people and also that I've just learned from my experience and from that time. But at the same time, it's so not where I am in my life that I don't feel inspired by it and I don't feel as passionate about it. It's not to say that, okay, come 2026, I won't give dating advice anymore. Of course, I absolutely will. And I think I always will do that because I think it's like how most of you, you know, found me was through dating advice. And that's what you want to hear from me. So I always will, but I don't want to like force myself to center my content around that so much just because it's like what people liked for me, you know, when I was going through it in 2022. And, you know, and it's like at the end of the day, like my the basis of my content then and now was on what my real life was. So I didn't just one day decide to be like a dating content creator. I was being a lifestyle human person content creator going through life. And that happened to be my life at the time. And so it stuck, it worked, it picked up and I carried it with me for years. But now it's like, okay, I'm married. I'm like going on to the next stages in life. And I'm just like, I don't really feel like only talking about dating stuff, you know, because it's so not where I am. And that's why I say I feel uninspired. But with that being said, at the same time, that's why I also do feel inspired because I am feeling like, you know what? I don't have to only be this one thing. I can create content out of being me. And it might not be as like exciting as it once was or as entertaining, but I still go through things. I still am a person, you know, who's like living life every day. I think I got in my own head of like, my life is boring now. So it's like, you know, for the last year, I was able to make all my content around being engaged, planning a wedding. And so that became the forefront of my content. It's like I kind of went from single girl dating content to then I got a boyfriend, but I was still fresh off the dating scene. So I was still kind of doing that. So I would like give advice for the single girls, but also for the girls getting into a relationship, raising your standards, all of those kind of things early on relationship stuff. And then I got engaged and was planning a wedding. So I spent a whole year with engagement and wedding content, and that actually did really well. And now it's like, okay, now that's over. So now what, you know? And I feel like I'm ready to just make another like transition with my content and change some stuff up. I also want things to be a little bit more like just lighthearted. I feel like I've been so focused on constantly giving advice that even when I have nothing to say, I like come up with something to give advice on. And it's funny because like that's not the type of content I consume, but yet I think like that's the type of content most people want to consume. So I'm like so fixated on like always doing that sort of stuff. But I feel like for me as a person, like the only podcast I really listen to is The Toast. I've shared that a couple times and it's like so lighthearted. So I don't even care about anything that they're really talking about because it's mostly pop culture and I don't care quite frankly at all about celebrities, but I just like to listen to their banter. And like I enjoy it. It makes me laugh. Sometimes I listen to Giggly Squad as well. Again, I don't even know what their podcast is about. I think it's just banter. You know, it's just like having a fun conversation. And I think I need to do a little bit more of that. Like just having a lighthearted girl chat, which today's episode is going to kind of be a mix up. I am going to give some advice, but I'm also going to, you know, let it be a little lighthearted. I'll explain what we're talking about today. And I think I need to bring more guests back on. I like stopped having so many guests because then people are like, oh, I don't really like when you have guests. We want to just hear from you. Like, I don't want to hear from other people. Like, I want to just hear your advice. And I'm like, girls, I do this podcast every single week without fail. You run out of advice to give. Try giving advice on a completely different topic every single week without fail, year after year. You get a creative block every now and then. So that's kind of why I felt uninspired, is because I'm like hitting that wall, that creative block. But I feel good. I feel like come 2026, I'm going to lean a little bit more into just where I'm at and have a little bit more fun with that, bring on some more guests and continue to do the advice and continue to do the dating topics, because that's never going to end. There's always something to talk about with that. I just don't want to have to force myself and stress myself out over doing it every single episode, because it's like, oh, but that's what everyone liked 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 4 years ago. I'm like, okay, as I'm evolving, my content is going to evolve. And that's just, I think that's just where I'm at. So with that being said, thank you for listening to this long-winded intro. I'm excited to close out 2025. I'm even more excited to begin 2026. I feel like I'm in that stage where it's like, bloom where you're planted, you know that saying. And instead of like trying to come up with all different things and be super like creative and this and that, like I'm ready to walk into 2026 with the energy that I'm taking from 2025, because 2025 was such a good year. Being in such a good place, newly married, like just having such a great time. It's like take that goodness into 2026 and make it great. That's where I'm at right now. I'm blooming where I'm planted. It's like this, the seed is planted and the soil is fertilized, you know? So it's like, let it grow now, let it blossom. That's where I'm at. So taking a good year and turning it into a great one next year. And I am really, really excited about that. So for this episode, I took all submissions. I posted on my story and I had girls send me some situations that they're going through. They emailed me for Dear Victoria segments to give them advice on like their full situation. So I'm going to kick off the episode with those. And then after that, I'm going to get into some fun stuff where we're going to do unpopular opinions, confessionals, red flags. And this is all submissions by you girls. So let's get into it, starting off with a Dear Victoria submission. Okay. Dear Victoria, my question for you is, what are your thoughts on the mental load? I would say I have more traditional values when it comes to relationships, and I tend to follow stereotypical gender roles where the man should be the sole provider, while the woman takes on most of the house chores, such as cleaning, cooking, decorating, etc. That's how responsibilities were divided in my previous relationship of 3 years. However, I think I became brainwashed with the mentality that I was taking on more of the mental load in the relationship, and I began to resent my boyfriend for not doing enough. Example, cleaning comes very naturally to me. I'm quite good at keeping a weekly schedule about it, but my ex's brain simply is not wired the same way. At first, I understood this about him and I didn't mind being the one to clean, but then I began to resent him for not remembering. It's not that he wouldn't clean, it's the principle of him not remembering to do it, hence the mental load falling on me. From watching your content, you also seem to be the one who takes on those same roles, cooking, cleaning, blah, blah, blah. How do you accept these responsibilities without growing resentment toward your husband? Is the mental load real or is it a toxic mentality to have? I'm going to say that it's a toxic mentality to have, because why are we thinking that we are the only ones with the mental load just for doing the household chores, when to me, providing and being that financial, you know, caretaker, if you will, that's a huge mental load. That is a very, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. There are a lot of expectations that come with that. It is a huge responsibility. I mean, without the provider, there is no house. There is nothing to clean. There is nothing to decorate. You're talking about decorating, what a privilege it is to even be able to decorate, right? Like, and if the situation is where it's like, he's the one doing, you know, he's the one working and providing and you're the one at home and doing those things. Like, it's, I'm not in any way diminishing what you're saying, because trust me, the chores never end. It is exhausting. And sometimes I absolutely hate it. But if that's where you're at, it's like, what a privilege to be able to do that. That you don't have to go to work and that you don't have to split everything. Because to me, I think a much worse mental load is 50-50. This is my opinion. I would rather things be 100-100. I would rather you stay in your lane and I stay in my lane. And this way we create collaboration and harmony and balance instead of clashing. You know, it's like, if you get into that phase, again, 50-50, my opinion, if you get into that mode where it's like, you're expecting him to like, help you with certain things and you're good at those things, but he's not, you will get resentment toward him, because that's annoying. Like, if you're splitting, let's say that you are splitting chores and, you know, it's like, well, I cleaned this week, so you're cleaning next week, whatever. And he's not wired in that way, but now he's being forced into sharing that role with you. It's not going to get done the way you want it to get done. It won't get done on the time that you want it to get done. It won't get done in the way that you want it to get done. So for me, I would rather be 100-100 instead of 50-50, because I would rather just know that I'm getting it done and I'm getting it done on time and I'm getting it done right. Like, why even bother like sharing this when I know I do it better and I know this is what I'm good at? Like you said, you're like, this comes naturally to me and I'm quite good at it, but my ex's brain is not wired the same way. Okay, so then why would you even set yourself up for failure? It's like you're putting an expectation on someone knowing that they're not going to do it right. Like, knowing that this is going to fail. So, I mean, I would never expect my husband to go to work all day and then come home and help me with the chores. It's like, at the very least, if there's ever just like time where, you know, I don't know, let's say like we're having dinner and like I needed to do something. Sometimes I have client calls at night. I'll just quickly ask him to put everything in the sink. You know, if I didn't get to clean up like the table after, I'm not expecting him to wash the dishes and to put them in the dishwasher and the whole thing. I'm just like, can you just put everything in the sink? And then I'll get to it when I'm done. You know, like, it's not a big deal. I mean, I was home all day. He was at work all day. Like, I don't feel the resentment toward him with those things, knowing that he doesn't do it, because it's my job. His job is to go out to work and my job is to do that. I do, like, you know, she had mentioned that like there's, I didn't say it, but she mentioned that there's like a lot of content on TikTok about this mental load thing. And that's why she says, I think I became brainwashed. And I do think that that's what it is. Like, I think that it's hearing what other people are saying and seeing what other people are doing. And you might be thinking, wow, but her boyfriend, he provides and he cleans and he does this and he does that. And it's like, okay, if that's what works for them, then that's what works for them. Like, it doesn't have to mean that that's what works for you. If you guys had that agreement of, you know, he does this and you do that, then why can't you just stay in your own lane and let that be, you know? So I do think the listening to other people on social media, the brainwashing, like, I think that's what makes it a toxic mentality. It's not to say that the mental load is not real. It is real, but I think we all experience it because we all have a mental load in our own way. So I'm team 100% you do your thing, 100% he does his thing. You guys don't bother each other. He doesn't expect you to do his job. You don't expect him to do your job. You guys now have a beautiful dance of like a yin and yang, a harmony, a balance, a collaboration, instead of expectations, disappointment, resentment, clashing. That's what works for me. And I've never had that resentment, nor do I think he has that resentment toward me. I mean, he comes home to food on the table. He comes home to his clothes cleaned and ironed. Like, he comes home to everything taken care of for him. And because of him, I live in this house, you know, like, so there's that. So that's my opinion on that. Okay, next one. Dear Victoria, I'm hoping you will give me some advice. My boyfriend of 2.5 years, a serious relationship left me for his best friend of 10 years that got divorced. We broke up 2 months ago. I reached out for closure and he told me in depth just how much he loves her. I know I shouldn't have, but I've been checking their social medias and socials, and all signs lead to them posting each other, each step of them officially announcing their relationship. Okay, sorry, I might have read that weird, but it basically sounds like maybe they're soft launching. They're like posting little hints of each other until the official announcement can come out once her divorce is finalized. Got that. I tell myself this is all on him. It has nothing to do with my worth, but how could someone discard me like this? Be in a relationship, feel no guilt, remorse, or even think about me. Okay. I'm going to give you a brutally, brutally harsh, but very honest answer. And let me give the disclaimer that you're 100% correct. This has nothing to do with you. This is all on him. This does not determine your worth. This tells me nothing about you as a person. Like, this has absolutely nothing to do with you and is in no way, shape, or form your fault, your responsibility, nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. This is 100% on him. Okay? That's a disclaimer. We know that. You're great. Next. Okay. Here's what I'm going to say is, it doesn't matter how long of a relationship you were in with him. This man could have gone to the end with you and married you and had children with you. Thank God this girl got divorced, because here's the thing. She was the one that he was waiting for. You, and this would have been any woman that he was with, so this is not a you problem, okay? I could have been his girlfriend and it would have been me too, okay? You or anyone he was with would have been, honestly, a placeholder in his life, and it would have been the person he settled for because he could not have his first option. Anyone he would have ended up with would have been second best. And that is the truth. This girl that's his best friend of 10 years, I mean, this is why men and women should not be best friends, okay? I mean, I have literally one guy friend, and quite frankly, the only reason why I even have this guy friend and have maintained this friendship is because I love his fiance, soon to be wife. You know, I know him since high school, and they might have started to date in college, or maybe after college. Yeah, maybe in like our 20s. And so, you know, all of my guy friends from high school and college, I've maintained no friendship with any of them, because on that personal level, like, I just, you know, whether you get into a relationship or whatever, like, I don't know, we don't maintain those friendships. And then this one guy friend got a girlfriend who I became friends with at that time. And now they've stayed together. They're engaged, soon to be married. And I've stayed friends with her, which allowed me to also stay friends with him. We've double dated. My husband and I have gone out with them. So it's like, that's how we've maintained that friendship. And that's why I quite literally only have one guy friend, is because of the woman that he brought into his life. Otherwise, there's no need to maintain guy friendships. I don't know. I feel that way. I know a lot of people have all different friends. I don't know. I don't think that you need a guy best friend when you're married. Like, why was this girl married with a guy best friend of 10 years? That's just weird to me. Anyway, aside from that rant, aside from that, she was his like
one true love that he that would always come first and that he would be waiting on his opportunity with, which is also why I think a lot of men and women in these circumstances should not be maintaining friendships, because I tend to think that men who like really maintain their friendships with a woman are truly just waiting on their opportunity and waiting for their chance. If that girl throws him a bone, if that girl would sleep with him, he would sleep with her in an instant. I think it's a little different the other way around when like a girl maintains a friendship with a guy, because I think that girls can have so many friends. Guys maintaining that friendship, all it tells me is that he's been waiting on this opportunity. Like he loves her, and it didn't matter who he was in a relationship with. They always would have been second best. And quite frankly, like I said, like they would have been who he settled for. Like that would give me peace of mind of knowing that I got out of this relationship and did not end up married to this person, because I'll be damned before I'm just the woman that my husband settled for. You know what I mean? Like you want to be your husband's dream woman. Like you want to be his one true love. And I think every man in his life will have one true love. Some men are lucky enough that that's who they end up marrying, that some men find their one true love and it works out and they're with that person. Other men have their one true love, like he had with his friend there, and don't get to be with her. And I don't think that they ever actually replace that love with somebody else. I think they just will go for the second best option, the next best thing they could get, and they settle. I've talked about that in the past, actually, on TikTok, where I feel like a lot of men actually settle. I think a lot of women settle too, but I think women settle for different reasons. I think women settle because they're lonely, they want to have kids, they just simply want to be married, they just want to be in a relationship. Whereas guys, once they know they can't get that person that they really truly want, and they throw in the towel, they say, all right, maybe one day I'll get my opportunity with her. Maybe one day I'll have my chance. But if I'm not going to get that, then I'll take what I can get. And so it doesn't matter how serious a relationship was. It doesn't matter how long you were together. And like I said, it doesn't matter if he walked you down the altar and married you and had kids with you. You would have forever felt something being missing and something being a little unfulfilled. It's not to say that he necessarily would have like cheated on you and treated you bad. It's you could have had like a perfect relationship, but still had that little gut feeling of like something's off though. Something's missing. Like, and I think what that thing would be passion. Because how passionate can a guy be about your relationship if he's on the side maintaining this best friendship with the girl he really wants to be with? Clearly that was the case, because he told you in depth how much, you know, he loves her, and he just abandoned you. Like you said, he discarded me. Your words, not mine. So again, this tells me everything that I need to know about this guy and nothing that I need to know about you. Because the second that this girl gave him his opportunity, he kicked you to the curb. Totally discard, erase. Like, I will say, to give him the slightest credit, is that, not that this is to his credit, because I don't think he's doing this with good intentions, but it actually works out in your favor. Him ghosting you and dropping you and just like feeling no guilt, no remorse, not thinking about you, not texting you, not checking in on you, is doing you a favor, because it's making it easier for you to detach and move on. He gave you the closure. He was brutally honest with you. He told you in depth how much he loves this woman. And then he discarded you and has never checked on you and never cared for you again. That's a lot easier to move on from, because you're seeing someone's true colors. You're realizing like, this is an awful situation that I would never, ever, ever want to deal with and put myself in that situation ever again. As opposed to him calling you, checking on you, not being honest with you. Let's say that he did, you know, let's say this situation happened. He left you for her. And then when you question him and like go for the closure, if he comes up with different excuses and just says, you know, it just happened, I don't know, it might not mean anything. Like if he did that and you could still have like that little bit of hope in the back of your mind, that feeling of like, oh, maybe, you know, this, maybe that, that's way worse. That's way harder to move on from. He's actually making it easier for you. It might be really painful. It might really hurt. It might really sting, and it might break your heart and destroy you for a little bit. However, he's giving you no choice but to move on, as opposed to making you feel like maybe, or making you feel like, oh, she doesn't really mean that much to me. You know, it was just like a hookup. Like, that makes it harder. So the worse of a human that he is, and the worse that he treats you, the better it is for you and your healing, so that you can just never want to see this guy again. I would never want to see this person again in my life. That's traumatizing. That is awful. So I'm very, very, very sorry that you went through that. But let that be all you needed to know, and all you needed to see to know that this is not a good person. Because he could very much be in love with this person. And everything I said could have been true, that it's like, this is my placeholder relationship until I finally get the opportunity, you know, with my one true love. That all that could have been true. And he still could have done things differently. He still could have treated you better. He still could have let you down easier. He still could have been, it could have been different. It could have been better if he handled it that way. But he chose not to handle it that way, because all he's thinking about is himself. And now that he's finally getting to be with this woman, he's not thinking about you at all. And that would be all I need to know this person's a piece of fucking shit. And I do not need to have that in my life. Okay. So again, I'm really sorry that you went through that, but just know that's on him, not on you. And I know that you know that, but I hope you really know that. Taking a sip, excuse me. Okay. Sorry. That rant got me worked up. All right. Now we're going to get on to something that I had posted on my story, asking you girls to submit your little things here too. So the first category is it just me or dot, dot, dot? And this is where people are submitting unpopular opinions, hot takes, their icks, so on and so forth. So is it just me or we've gone too far as a society with boundaries? We need more connections. I agree to an extent, of course, because I do agree that a lot of people have become like they just use boundaries as excuses to get out of things they don't want to do, you know? And it's like, you know that saying where it's like, it takes a village? Well, in order to have a village, you need to be a villager. So if you refuse to ever inconvenience yourself for other people, if you say no to everything just because it's a boundary, if you don't show up for your friends, you miss birthdays, you miss events, you bail on people, you cancel on people, and then you just convince yourself that it's all because of your own boundaries, yeah, you're going to lose many connections. You're going to lose friendships. You're going to lose your village because of that. So I do think some people use their boundaries as an excuse just to get out of things that they simply don't feel like inconveniencing themselves to do. And I think sometimes in life, when you love people and you have these strong connections, you need to inconvenience yourself to maintain them. Otherwise, I do think there are a lot of situations and circumstances where boundaries are necessary, because there are so many toxic people out there. So I think if there's people you don't want to be around and that's why you don't want to go, like, think about it like this. You're invited to something with your friends. Let's say it's far and there's a lot of traffic and you just don't want to drive. And you're like, oh, I don't want, you know, we're celebrating that she graduated. You know, I want to be there for her, but like, I don't feel like driving an hour to get there. Okay. That's where you're wrong. Now let's say that you're celebrating same exact thing, same circumstance. Let's say it's, you know, 20 minutes away, not super far, somewhere you just got to go. But there's someone there that is awful to you, very toxic, someone that like you just simply don't want to be in their presence. And you explain to your friend, listen, I want to be there for you, but can I take you out another time? Can I celebrate with you tomorrow instead? Because I cannot be around that person. Okay, fair. So I do think that we can and should and always will be able to instill boundaries around people that are just, you do not want to even breathe their air. You don't want them in your life or around you. And if you got to put up that wall, then do it. But make sure that you are not, make sure that you're not ruining your village, you know, inconvenience yourself if you have to inconvenience yourself for people, because it does take a village and everyone deserves to have a village. You need to know what you want. Oh, this is the next one. You need to know what you want before you start dating. Yes, I agree. I don't even think you should bother dating if you don't know what you want. And this could go on both ends. If what you want is just to go with the flow and have fun, then know that. This way, when you go on dates, you can make sure it's clear that, like, I'm not looking for something serious. I'm looking to just have fun, go with the flow. Maybe I just got out of a relationship and I'm just trying to, like, do my thing and meet some people. And, like, you know, if it works out, it works out. And if not, it doesn't. Like, then even that is knowing what you want. So I don't care if what you want is specific, a specific list head to toe of, like, what you're looking for in a partner, like, you know, A to Z, the whole thing. Or if what you want is just to have fun, just know. And just make sure that you're honest with people, you know, about that. Next one. I think people need to learn the difference between an ick and a downright no. Yes, I agree. I think that people get a little carried away with icks. It's like the simplest little thing. He wore this thing, or, you know, he bent over to tie his shoe and I got an ick. And it's like, girl, are you five? Like, now you can't go out with that guy again? Because he bent over to tie his shoe, you know, like, just whatever the situation is. I think that there's a huge difference between, like, red flags and a guy being a no and, like, whatever, versus your own immaturity when it comes to, like, an ick. I mean, icks can be super valid because there could be really, really gross things and things that just turn you off all the way. But I don't think that these little minor things are considered that our icks are considered, like, turnoffs. I just think that that's, like, a lack of emotional intelligence on your end. Okay. Next, college doesn't actually feel like the best time of my life. It feels lonely. Well, I'm really sorry to hear that, but I also understand. I did have a great college experience overall in general for the most part, but I also went through hard times too. And I feel like it can feel lonely. Like, I had friends in college. I for sure had a lot of friends, but mostly, like, individual friendships. I wasn't, like, really part of, like, a group, like, maybe, like, my freshman year. But, like, other than that, like, I really wasn't, like, in a group like that. I wasn't, like, in a group chat. I wasn't, like, in, like, first to know, first to be invited into, like, a clique or anything like that. And so when you see so much of that, it could definitely feel really, really lonely. But I think the best thing you can do is just, first of all, I was in clubs. I worked really hard at school. Like, I was actually pretty passionate about, like, school and extracurricular activities. So, like, I always kind of, like, had things going on. I had jobs at school. Like, I consumed myself with many things, but I also had friends, like, individual friends. So, like, I do think that, like, if you are, like, struggling, don't focus so much on, like, needing a friend group and trying to get invited and involved in every little thing. Just try to, you know, even if it's make one good friend or two good friends and spend time with them, get lunch with them, meet them, you know, at, like, whatever it's called, like, the dining hall, like, just, you know, have some friends that you can hang out with and spend time with. And I think that that should help you, you know, to feel a little bit better. But just know that I get it, because it can feel very lonely if you feel like an outsider. And that's not fun. But, you know, do what you can to keep yourself busy. Join whatever you got to join. Do whatever you got to do. And I mean, to be honest with you, I actually graduated college a year early. And I think that was part of the driving force behind that was I'm like, I don't need to deal. Like, I can just get to work. You know, I could just get out of here. I don't need to be worried about, like, friends and this and that. Like, I'm, you know what, if I just focus on myself, do what I got to do and get myself out of here, I could graduate a year early and move on with my life, you know? So if you could graduate a year early, I recommend it, because it was a great decision for me. I'm like, okay, I don't need to worry about friends. I don't need to worry about anything else on this campus, because I can just bounce. So that's what I did. Next, the dating scene in New York isn't actually that bad. It's just a defense mechanism to say this. True and false. I would say it goes back to when I said, like, you need to know what you want before you start dating. I do agree that the dating scene in New York isn't bad per se, because there's millions of guys around. There's a plethora of men. Like, you're never going to run out of options of guys because there's so many guys. However, I think it can be hard for someone who's like looking to get married and settle down, because New York is full of Peter Pan syndrome man children, where like they're not ready to settle down and they will be partying in their 40s and 50s. I actually just heard this. I don't watch the show Summer House, but I think that they're all from New York. And it came up on my TikTok where I was like, the guy Kyle is like 43 and is literally married to one of the girls on the show. And he was like out and slept at like someone's house at like, I guess he was like out partying and drinking and whatever. And then like slept at whoever's house that he was partying at and like came home at 6 a.m. or something like that. And it's like, this is a 43-year-old man. And I'm pretty sure this is New York City. I think it is. And it's like, that's a lot of what you see in New York. So it's like, listen, if you want to settle down and get married and have kids, maybe try New Jersey, like try surrounding area, Connecticut per se. But it's not that it's bad where like you can't find anybody. It's just, I don't know where the priorities are at. Okay, this is an ick. I said that I don't know how to parallel park, and he said, hee hee, me too. Okay, honestly, that's a fair ick. The hee hee alone is fair. But a man not knowing how to parallel park, that's a little scary. Because I feel like so much of the like allure of a man is like him being sexy driving. There's so much like what's that word? Where it's like that charisma, I guess. I don't know. It's like charming to see a guy with like one hand on the wheel, like spinning the steering wheel. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like,
let's talk about something every girl wants: healthy, glowing skin that looks and feels good. And that's where Dionys Goat Milk Skincare comes in. I was introduced to Dionys earlier this year when I visited their farm, and I got to test out all kinds of products, from hand creams to body lotion, skincare, and their new lip masks, just to name a few. After I went to the farm, I learned that goat milk is loaded with vitamins and nutrients, which is so nourishing for your skin, and I also learned that we share the same pH as goats, which is why Dionys' products moisturize so well and never leave a greasy feel. I've been using and loving the goat butter lip mask, the vanilla bean being my favorite. And honestly, it's been a game changer. Everyone's always asking what I use on my lips, and there's truly nothing like it. It gives you the softest, most hydrated lips ever, and it actually lasts, unlike every other lip balm and mask I've tried before that I constantly have to reapply. But what I especially love about Dionys is that it's clean, cruelty-free, and designed to be simple. Plus, it's women-founded and women-led, and if there's one thing I've made clear on For the Girls, it's that we support the girls. These women know their stuff, and I love everything they do. So if you want to give your skin a little extra love today, check out Dionys Goat Milk Skincare. You can find them at DionysGMSkincare.com. That's DionysGMSkincare.com. Use code FTG20 to save 20% off site-wide. Again, that's code FTG20 to save 20% off.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Hey, what's What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm not into a guy not knowing how to parallel park. That's actually really scary to me. So I think that, like, it's pretty sexy when a guy's a good driver, especially doing the parallel park and the hard stuff. And it's like, okay, that's cute for girls. A girl who maybe bumps the curb, a girl who maybe doesn't know how to parallel park, a guy, that's not cute. So I'm with you on that. Next, is it just me or God comes first, then your marriage, then your kids, then your family? Well, that's certainly not just you. That is that. That is life. I know not everybody will agree. However, I think as you get older, I think as you have your family, I think that you learn that's the case. I'm fully aligned with that. I would say that it's a bit hard at times when life is so, like, worldly, you know, and like you're not always focused on, like, your faith, or you're not always focused on God and Jesus. And it's like, if you become very surface level, and like, let's say you're going through something, a hard time or whatever, and like you're so focused on that thing and everything, like, you know, solving the problem becomes very worldly. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So it's like, once it becomes too worldly and too surface and too here on earth, I think people lose sight of that. I know that that happens to me. But that is something that I'm now, especially now that I'm married, that's something that I'm always trying to remember and trying to instill and trying to lean more into my faith, that it's God comes first, then your marriage, then your kids, which we don't have kids yet, but you get what I'm trying to say, and then your family. That is the biblical order, I believe, of, you know, your priorities. And so hopefully when we do have kids and, you know, as that time goes on, we can instill this even more and become even more, like, used to that. 'Cause it could be a challenge, you know, in life. So it's important to make that effort, you know. Okay, next, people become so weird around you when you're planning your wedding. That is very true. That is very, very, very true. The problem is people are so narcissistic and make everything about themselves that you can't even make something about yourself, even if it's your wedding, literally your wedding. You're the one getting married. You're the one paying. It's your day. That even when it's about you, you can't make it about you because everyone else has to make it about themselves. It is so bizarre. I don't really understand that. I quite literally don't understand that people can't just, like, accept that, like, people are going to do whatever they want with their wedding. And it's like, it's not about you. It's actually only about the people getting married. So whatever decisions they make, accept it. It's that simple. Accept it. You could disagree. I just don't know why they have to become weird around you. Like, there are plenty of things I disagree with that people do. Do I let it affect me? No, I don't give a shit what people do. You might make decisions that I'm like, oh, hate that I have to do that, but whatever. Am I going to complain to you about it? Am I going to complain to other people about it? No, I'm going to suck it up and I'm going to do it because I'm in this wedding, or I'm friends with the person whose wedding it is. And I'm like, you know, maybe I'll say it to my husband, because I could complain to my husband about, I don't know, my socks. I could complain to him about anything, but it's like, I'm not going to go talking shit. I'm not going to go causing an issue with you and starting an issue with you. It's your wedding. I don't care what you do. Whatever you choose to do, that's on you because it's your wedding. So yes, you're right. People become so weird and it is so bizarre. I can't relate. I would never make someone else's day about myself, ever. I think that is crazy. Everyone gets their chance. when it's your turn, when it's your turn and your wedding, you make it about you. When it's my turn and my wedding, I make it about me, and we will not make each other's day about each other. Thank you. Okay, next. I hate when someone orders my food for me. Ask me what I like first. I can't say I've ever experienced this, although I feel like it's something I've seen like in movies and TV shows, but I cannot even imagine someone just taking it upon themselves to decide what you're going to eat and order your food for you. I think that is so bizarre. I would be like, wait, no, that's not what I want. Like, I'm confused. Like, what? You don't even know what I like. The only way it could happen is if you guys are agreeing that you're just going to share things instead of like ordering your own. But even then it's like, okay, well, what are we sharing? Let's look through the menu and decide together. So that's really weird for someone to just order your food for you without even asking you what you like. So bizarre. Okay, next. People are having children that they cannot afford. This is actually a real thing. And I've been seeing it a lot on TikTok. Like, there's a lot of discourse around this. And a lot of people actually like disagree and say like anyone should be able to have kids no matter what their financial circumstances are. It's classist. And I don't think it's that. I don't think it's people saying like, if you don't make a lot of money, you shouldn't have kids. I don't think it's that. I just think that it's that when you are in a position in life where you're struggling to begin with, why bring a child into poverty? Like, why bring a child into that struggle? That child did not ask to be born. So it's selfish, you know? It's like, you want to have kids. This baby is not asking to be given life. You are wanting to have the child for yourself. But if you know that you can't even afford to have kids and you're already on the struggle bus to begin with, why bring a human life into that and now force that person into struggling? Because yeah, when that person is older, they can make changes about their life. And when they're in their, let's say, teens and 20s, they could get a job and, you know, figure it out for themselves. But as a child in your care and under your roof, they're given no choice but to struggle with you. And if you're living in poverty, then they're living in poverty with you. And that's not necessarily fair to do to the child. If you're just having kids for like that selfish reason of just simply wanting them. Now, if it's a oopsie daisy, okay, this is a different story. If someone's accidentally gets pregnant and they don't have great financial circumstances, it is what it is. But I do think it's a little weird when I feel like there's like TikTokers that are like, make dinner with me for my family of five. And it's like donuts. It's like only ever McDonald's. Like, it's poor nutrition. It's crap food. Like, your kids are going to have major health issues. You clearly have major health issues. You could see it just from watching the video. And they're either starving their kids or they're feeding their kids crap. And it's like, clearly they're living in a zoo. Like, it's just like, why do you have five children? Like, why do you have all of these kids when you can't even give them a salad? You can't even give them a proper meal with broccoli. They're not even being fed nutrients. They're like, there's no nutritional value in anything they're eating. They're living in filth. Like, it's not fair. It's not fair to do that, you know? So don't be selfish if that's the case. But I do agree that people have kids these days that they just truly cannot afford. And then they just keep creating more. There's literally these videos on TikTok, I'm not kidding, where these people have so many kids and they can't even feed them. It's terrible. Okay. All right. I'll make this one the last one for this category. Luggage does not belong on beds or couches packed on the floor. I chose this one because there's still a lot of this one, but like, we got to go on to the next one. I chose this one because I needed to make this as a public service announcement. If you are putting your suitcase on your bed or on your couch, anywhere that you sit or lay or sleep or whatever, stop. That is so dirty. That is so disgusting. Those suitcases have been everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. They've been in thousands of people's hands. They've been on conveyor belts. They've been on planes. They've been, you don't even know where they've been. Because behind the wall, you can't even see where that luggage has been. They're scuffed, they're dirty, there's so much bacteria and whatever else floating around on there. Do not put that on your bed. There's dirt. Imagine putting dirt into your bed or onto your couch. Floor only. Quite frankly, I would pack outside if I could, because I don't even like opening it up on the floor. Every time I open my suitcase, there's always ends up being shit on the floor. Then I'm vacuuming, then I'm cleaning. They're gross. And forget your own bed. If you do it in the hotel room too. If you get to the hotel room and to unpack, you put it on the bed. Ugh. And then you're going to sleep in that bed. Okay? So PSA. This is very true. Do not ever put your luggage anywhere that you sleep, lay, sit. It goes on the floor and on the floor only. And then wear slippers. I'm a big slippers girl. I will never walk around barefoot. I will never walk around even only with socks on. I'm a slippers girl. Are my slippers here? Yeah, I'm going to show you. These are my slippers under my chair right now. Big slippers girl. I love me some slippers because I at least feel like my feet are never getting dirty on the dirty floor. All right, next category, confessionals. Okay, so confessionals is spilling the tea or sharing secrets or telling me about dilemmas that you need help on, okay? Next is, okay, so here's a confessional. My sister has her first boyfriend and he's a red flag. How do I tell her without her not confiding in me anymore? I actually think that you have to be honest with your sister to the point where you will run the risk of her not confiding in you anymore and you being okay with that, because it is your sister and you have to be honest with your sister. And it's like, what good is a sister if you can't be honest? You know, like, if you can't tell your sister the straight up truth, and if she's going to be so mad and offended and hurt that she'll never confide in you again, well, she will, because she might not confide in you for about a week, but sisters get over it. That's not true sisterhood. You know what I mean? Like, she's your sister. You should be able to talk to her. And I guarantee that you can talk to her. I think that you just care so much about hurting her that, like, you're afraid of hurting her. And so you don't want to run the risk of her not confiding in you. But I actually think that's a risk that you have to be willing to take, because if it means this much to you and if you're like that concerned about your sister, you know, like, honesty is the best policy. But you can do it in a kind way, because I feel like people hear be honest and they think like be mean. It's not about being mean. You could be so nice to your sister about this. You could be so kind to your sister about this. You could soften the blow. You can let her down easy, you know. I don't know how you communicate best with her. In person, face-to-face, on the phone, on text, whatever works for you, use that method. And be like, listen, don't be mad at me, because I'm not telling you this to be annoying and to be naggy and to be like, you know, your bitchy older sister. Like, I'm not trying to rain on your parade. But, like, you need to know this, because this is only your first boyfriend. I've been there. I've done that. And these things are not good, you know? Like, I'm telling you this as just girl to girl. Forget even sister to sister. Like, this is the type of advice I would give a friend. You know, I would give this advice to a stranger in the bathroom if she was telling me what, you know, her man was doing. So it's like, she might not be happy with this, so she might not want to confide in you. But as long as you're honest and kind and, you know, you can just speak to her human to human normal, I think that she should be fine. I think that if she doesn't, it might just be because she's being really defensive. So if she's being super defensive, then there's really nothing you could do about that, where it's like, no matter what you say or how you say it, she would have been offended, you know? Okay. Next, my fiance just got back from a work trip and I found stains in the passenger seat. And she clarifies that the stains come from a body part. Okay. Let's say that the word she uses is a 5-letter word and it starts with a P and it ends with a Y. So P star 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 Y. P star 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 Y stains in the passenger seat. Okay. So your husband or fiance was not on a work trip. Or if he was, he's very close with his coworker, and he would no longer be my fiance. Point blank. I mean, I can't even give you like advice on this. This is just point blank. I mean, jail. I would call the cops on this guy. I'm not even kidding. No, he would no longer be my fiance. You've seen what you've needed to see, and I don't think you need to know anymore. I don't think you need an explanation either, because, I mean, you found the evidence. This evidence would hold up really well in court if they did a little sample biopsy of it. Yeah, that I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But that would not be my fiance anymore. Absolutely not. Okay. Next one. We met on a dating app, saw each other 2 times a week for 2 months, and now he says, I don't know about dating or being friends. Cut him off. Cut him off, because that man would know. They would know right away. What he's doing is still testing the waters because he doesn't like you like that yet. But he might think that you're a great person. And he might be like, oh, but she's pretty and she's nice and she's kind and she's fun and I have so much fun with her. But something's missing. Something's off. So he's still testing you out. That's why he's still wasting your time. I mean, hanging out 2 times a week for 2 months is hanging out 8 times. You can't tell in 8 times of seeing me if you like me enough to date me or if you just want to be friends. My husband and I, when we first met, we only got together 1 a week. And in 2 months, we were exclusively together. So that's... Wait, no, that's not... That wasn't even 8. No, I think... I saw him 8 times. Wait, so that's like 16 times. I did the math wrong. Okay, wait. 2 times a week for 8 weeks, basically. Yeah, that would be 16. That'd be 16. So I stand corrected. I saw him 8 times. Okay? So in double the amount of time of me seeing him, he doesn't know? What I was going to say was I only saw, when we started dating, we only saw each other 1 a week. Okay? And then we were together after 2 months. So 1 a week... for 2 months, which is 8 weeks, is 8 times. So if he knew in 8 times of hanging out with me that he wanted to be with me, how could someone in 16 times not know if they want to be with you? But he doesn't know, so that's why he's going to keep wasting your time. And him telling you, I don't know if I like you like that or if we're just friends, tells me enough that you don't like me enough. Point blank. Because a guy who likes you and wants to be with you and wants to date you would never make you question it and wouldn't be questioning it himself. He would be with you. You could be the prettiest, funniest, smartest. You could be every single thing. But if something is off and he doesn't feel it yet, he's never going to feel it. And he's going to try to force it a little bit because you're so great and because you have all these things going for you that he's going to like want it to be you. And it's like, oh, but like this would be so easy. I'm seeing her 2 times a week, we get along, we hang out, you know, we've hung out, like I said, 16 times in the past 2 months. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot of hanging out. So he's going to want it to be you, but if it's not, it's not. And you cannot force it, nor should you want him to force it, okay? So that was everything I needed to know. A guy being like, I don't know, I might see you as just a friend. Okay, friends it is. Goodbye. And actually, spoiler alert, you wouldn't even be friends because you'd be stopped not speaking to him anymore. Okay, on to the next one. I got love bombed, new tires, my nails done, flown out to Vegas, and I ended up being ghosted. All right, here's what I'm going to say about this, okay? If your feelings are hurt, if you really like this guy, if you were really invested and now he just like ghosted you and really hurt you and messed you up, I'm very sorry to hear that. However, if you were just having fun and you got spoiled, you got gifts and nails and tires on your car, and you got a trip to Vegas, I mean, you're not doing too bad. I'd be like, you know what? Fine, goodbye. At least I got something out of this, you know? At least I got things done. At least I got gifts. At least I had fun. At least I went on a trip, you know? So sometimes I see these stories, like on TikTok, of girls talking about how badly they were love bombed, and they like list all the things that he did. He bought me a Chanel bag. He took me to Turks and Caicos. He flew me first class. He got me this and that. And I'm like, why are we complaining? I would text him and say, listen, I know you ghosted me, but can we run that back? Can I need my nails done again. I'm fine with you not speaking to me, but can you still give me these gifts? Can you still do these things? Like, hello, are you out there? You know, I mean, I wouldn't be mad. Because it's like gifts with no strings attached. Perfect. Cool. I'm down. But again, if you're sad, I'm sorry if he really hurt your feelings. Because being ghosted when dating sucks. But if this was just like a fun run for you and you got, you know, some stuff out of it, all right, that's fine. Okay, next one. I love my husband, but his drive has gone down. He left his job and now we are struggling. This is kind of like similar to the concept that I was talking about before about like having kids, like knowing that you're struggling. Like, why would someone do this? Like, why would you quit your job without another job lined up and like allow your family to struggle? I don't understand that. Like, that's a choice. The only event in which it would not be a choice is if this person is so, so, so severely disabled, like mentally, and it's like major mental health issues where it's like the depression is, you know, it's paralyzing. It's like crippling anxiety. You can't get out of bed. You're like, you know, trapped and you're just, you can't move, whatever. Like if you're so, so, so severely mentally disabled and, you know, just like can't get out of bed. Okay, fine. You can't get to work. But even in that case, you could still file and like, I think you could probably get disability or unemployment or I don't know, something. I'm sure you could get something out of it. But it doesn't seem like that's the case. It seems like he just lost his drive and like lost his ambition and is being lazy. So it's like, so because you're just lazy, you no longer think that we need money? Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm sorry, but we are adults and this is what we have to do. We have to work. You need money to live. And that's not me being greedy and money hungry. That is just life. Food costs money. Shelter costs money. Clothes cost money. A car costs money. Everything in life costs money. What can you get in this world for free? Nothing. So someone choosing to quit their job with no lineup, like no back burner option, no plan B, makes absolutely no sense. Like absolutely no sense to put your family in a position of struggle just because. That's awful. Okay, next one. I need help on living with a boyfriend / fiance for the first time and finding balance in routines. Well, I actually think that the very first Dear Victoria segment might be really helpful for you because I think it'll help you know what you want. Do you want 50-50? Do you want 100-100? Like I was explaining before, like, do you want to split everything? Do you want to take on everything? I think, let's say that you wanted to split the household chores. Let's say you didn't want to do all the chores in the house yourself. Then I would give each chore, like each person a chore, a role, meaning you don't both do the laundry. One or the other does the laundry. You don't both cook every meal. One or the other does, or you could split cooking the meals. That's a little different, but like the simple chores, the laundry, the ironing, the cleaning, whatever. There's so many chores around the house. There's a million things to do. So instead of like, let's say you did the laundry one day and then it's like the next, you know, 2 days go by and now it's like a big pile of laundry and you're like, why isn't he doing it? I did it last time. Like that I don't like. That I do not like. I would rather know that the laundry is on me. So I do the laundry every single time. And then let's say cleaning the bathroom is on him. I'm just making up a random thing. And this way, every single time that the bathroom looks a little disheveled, honey, bathroom, need you. You know, like instead of splitting things, that's where that resentment starts to come in. Like we were just talking about in the very first Dear Victoria segment. So I do think determining what kind of roles you guys want to play is really important. And then how you're going to break down those roles if you are sharing them. Otherwise, I feel like just have fun. Honestly, make time to watch TV together at night. I love watching TV. I mean, I feel like there's like Jay Shetty podcast and like these podcasts that like get really, they get really deep and they say like, you know, watching TV together is not quality time together. To each their own. We both like to watch TV and hang out. So, you know, try to make date nights in and out, you know, but like date night in, like, yeah, that would require like no TV. Like, you know, like we always do something on Valentine's Day, like, and every now and then, you know, we'll do like a fun little like activity or a craft or like a cooking or something. So, you know, try to have like little fun nights without the TV at home every now and then. But I'm always down to just like, to me, that is quality time. Just like cuddling, watching TV. I love it. Okay. Next one. My ex-boyfriend thinks it is insane to have friends. Well, I'm glad to know that he is your ex, because that's insane. Insane to have friends. I'm not really understanding. Like, he thinks it's crazy of him to have friends and you to have friends. This sounds like a raging narcissist who wants full control over his partner and does not want his partner to have any friends, any outside opinion, any distractions. It seems like he wants everything to be like me, myself, and I. Like, your only concern should be about me. And that's definitely crazy. I don't really know what to say there. If you guys are ever in a relationship where your partner like doesn't want, you know, you to have friends in your life, you need to like run. If your partner is taking you away from your friends, that person cannot be trusted and has terrible, terrible, terrible intentions. Okay, last one for this category. My boyfriend and I broke up because he can't be there for me when I struggle with my mental health. I'm going through lots of denial and still talking to him. I'm just really sad and feeling abandoned. Well, that's awful and I'm sorry, but he's actually doing you a favor, because why? Like, if you are struggling with your mental health and like you're going through a hard time, the only thing worse than doing that alone and feeling lonely because you don't have someone to talk to is having someone to talk to and them not being able to be there for you. Like, I would never want to be with someone who I could not confide in, who can't hold my, you know, the weight of my feelings emotionally, who has no emotional intelligence, who just doesn't know how to handle like these hard times, you know? Like, so if you're having a panic attack or an anxiety attack and he's just like he can't help you through that. If you're having like a depressive episode, a manic episode, if you're having anxiety, like he can't help you through that. Like, he's not someone that you can rely on. He's not comforting, like, in any case. Like, I would rather be alone. I would rather be alone and deal with it myself and work on it myself and be lonely because I'm alone than be lonely in a relationship because my partner is like talking to a fucking wall. So as much as it sucks to go through that, I mean, you lost nothing. You lost nothing because he can't be there for you when you're struggling. And then that's not a partner at all, because think of a partner as if you're on a, like a teammate. Imagine you're on a team and it's like the pitcher and the catcher work together. You know, the pitcher throws the ball and the catcher catches the ball, right? So it's like you need these two people to like make the team work. Without the pitcher, there's no ball for the catcher to catch, vice versa. Without the catcher, where's the ball going? So it's like, that might be a stupid analogy, but it kind of makes sense in my head, where it's just like, you know, you need each other in order to make a team, in order to be partners. So if you don't have him, if he can't be there for you, if he can't be your teammate, then he can't be your partner. And those need to be non-negotiables for your future partners. Point blank. Okay, last category, last one, and then we're going to wrap up the final episode of 2025. This one is Red Flag Roundtable. So this is red flags in dating, relationships, etc. Someone who overly compliments you on every aspect of your life is extremely jealous of you and will sabotage you if the opportunity arises. I think that I can agree with that. No one's coming to my mind in particular who like overly compliments me that like makes me feel like maybe there's like a hidden agenda, but I can definitely see where that's coming from, where it's like, you could tell that like they're overly complimenting you because they're overly thinking about that thing. Oh, like this, your hair looks really nice. This looks really nice. Like, I think the person who wrote that, I think if I remember the message, it like gave examples of like hair, body, job, whatever, like, just someone who's always like saying something like, yeah, I think I'm with that there's like they're overcompensating, you know, like they're overdoing it because of there's actually like a hidden agenda, like a very negative feeling behind it. And that's super scary. That is, people are fucking scary, dude. Okay. Friends that are always late. Now I don't even entertain after one instance of not respecting my time. Honestly, I'm snapping. I don't know if you could hear that in the mic. Snaps to that because I cannot stand that either. I'm so punctual. And like I've always had friends who like were running late and it like becomes their like personality. It's like a personality trait, personality flaw, I should say, a character flaw. I can't stand that. Like if you know you take a really long time to get ready, just get ready earlier. I don't care if like, because when it's like, you know, say you call them out, they're like, oh my God, it took me 3 hours to get ready. So then get ready 3 hours earlier. I don't care how long it takes you to get ready. You're more than welcome to take the whole day to get ready. But then plan accordingly. You know, like just arrange your time to match with how much time you need to get ready. Makes no sense. It's a red flag if all of their exes are crazy. Yeah. Yeah. First of all, it takes two to tango, honey. So if she's crazy, you must be crazy too, because how are you just in a relationship with a crazy person? Doesn't make any sense. And then the other thing is like, okay, say she got crazy after you broke up. It's like, why? What did you do? You know, I always believe that in a relationship, two people are crazy. Not one, two. Unless the person is like seriously psychotic. And I'm talking seriously psychotic. Not like, oh, she was stalking my Instagram. I'm talking jail time crazy. If that's not the case, yeah. All of your exes can't magically be crazy and you're normal. That doesn't make any sense. It's a red flag when your friend calls something little. Your little business, your little podcast. Yeah. That's also jealousy. There's a lot of signs of jealousy in people, and that's a big one to look out for. When they undermine something that you're passionate about, something that you love, something that you do, your job, your career, anything. Oh, you're little this or that. Or they just like make it feel like it's not that important. They make it feel like it's not that special. Like, can't relate. Cannot relate. I just like, I would only ever be proud of my friends. So I don't know. I'm just the type of person who like, I don't have a jealous bone in my body. The only thing that I can quote unquote be like jealous about, which isn't even true jealousy, because I will literally go right up to that person and like ask them like to help me, is like when it comes to someone having like a perfect body. I'm like, how do you look like that? Give me your tips. Give me your tricks. Tell me your diet. Tell me your workout. Like that's me being jealous. Otherwise, I don't give a shit what anyone does. So it's like, be proud of them or shut up. Red flag are friends that only like when you're sad. That is so, so, so true. You know, when there's those people, this is also a jealousy thing. You know, when there's people that it's like, they don't really celebrate your wins. They're not overly happy for you when you win. But then when you're sad, they're constantly checking on you. They're constantly asking how you're doing. They want to know what happened. Give me all the details. It's like, oh, when I got that promotion, I got a congratulations text. No questions, no conversation further. It wasn't that deep. It was like, oh, good for you. Happy for you. End of discussion. Then when I'm going through something, when my boyfriend broke up with me, you're over the moon. Like you're constantly blowing up my phone. You want to hang out. Let me text you. Let me call you. Let me FaceTime you. Like why are you up my ass when I'm sad? But then you're missing when I'm happy. That's terrible. So there's that. Okay, so somebody else put any ounce of jealousy or narcissism. Yeah, it is true. Any ounce of jealousy or narcissism is a red flag. Someone who does not return their grocery cart or is rude to waiters. That is true too. I always return my grocery cart and I'm always nice to waiters. I cannot stand when someone is rude to a waiter or like makes the waiter uncomfortable. Like, first of all, it's 9 out of 10 times not the waiter's fault. It's like something going on in the kitchen. It's like just something there. It's like, don't shoot the messenger, you know, like they're just the middleman. I'm not into that. Manipulation for their own gain. Well, Yeah, that's a big red flag. Someone who likes to twist the story, manipulate the story for their own personal gain, for themselves to be the hero, for you to be the bad guy, the villain, for them to be the victim. That's another big thing. Everyone loves to be the victim and everyone wants everyone to feel sorry for them. Yeah, no. Big red flag. If they talk about people they claim to be friends with, ain't that the truth? I always learned that, like, at a really young age. Like, I just feel like we've always seen that where it's like, oh, someone's their best friend. Like, even in high school, your best friends, college, your best friends. But then it's like they talk shit about you, especially when they're, like, very male-centered and they'll, like, talk down to their friend, like, in front of guys or behind their back to guys. Like, I've always clocked that really, really, really early. Like, you don't talk shit about your friends. You don't. If you need to, like, vent about your friends, I feel like the only person you do that to really would be your partner. You're not going to talk about them to other people, you know? But most importantly, just say it to their face. Like, they're your friend for a reason. So you should be able to talk with your friend and communicate with your friend. I think your spouse is really the only person that you should ever, like, vent about people to. Otherwise, like, then that's when it becomes talking shit, when you're just talking to, like, other friends about your friends. But yeah, I mean, they're your friends. So you should be able to just talk to them. That's how I've maintained friendships throughout my whole life, is us by us talking to each other. Like, doesn't mean that we never disagree. We do, but we disagree to each other's faces, you know? Like, that's how a real friendship is handled. That's how loyalty is handled. I don't agree with you. Doesn't make you my enemy. Doesn't mean that now we're going to go talk shit about each other, but we'll talk it out. I mean, my friends have been my friends pretty much practically my whole entire life. So there's a lot that you go through and there's going to be a lot that you disagree on. So you should be able to discuss that with them. Okay, the very last one, avoiding hard conversations and making excuses for a lack of communication. Big red flag. Oh, I'm so busy with work. Oh, I'm helping my sick grandfather. I have this, I have that. Bruh. Making excuses for a lack of communication is true. That goes also into, like, the manipulation, the gaslighting, the narcissism, whatever. Like, there's no excuse. You should be able to communicate. And if you can't, that's on you. Stop making excuses for it. Just own it. And avoiding hard conversations is a true lack of emotional intelligence, a lack of emotional maturity. Not cool. Not cool. You cannot avoid the important stuff. You can't avoid having hard conversations. It's like, how immature are you? Like, you should be able to have adult conversations. You should be able to talk things through. And I cannot stand when someone has, like, excuses for why they're not communicating. It's like, oh, we talked every single day. Then all of a sudden you're gone. This is, like, example with a guy you're dating. It's like, oh, we talked every single day. Then all of a sudden you're gone. I barely hear from you. I get one word answers from you. And then it's, like, always an excuse. Like, just say you're not interested. Just say you changed your mind. It's that simple. End of the discussion. But yeah, that is the end of the Red Circle Roundtable. And that is the end of this last episode of 2025, our last Girl Chat of the year. I am so excited to close out the year. I'm so excited to begin the new year. There's just going to be so much more in store and I cannot wait. 2026 is 5 years of For the Girls, and yeah, we're not done yet. We got a lot more to discuss. I love you girls. Thank you girls so much for listening. Until next time, girls, see you in 2026. Let's talk about something every girl wants: healthy, glowing skin that looks and feels good. And that's where Dionys Goat Milk Skincare comes in. I was introduced to Dionys earlier this year when I visited their farm, and I got to test out all kinds of products, from hand creams to body lotion, skincare, and their new lip masks, just to name a few. After I went to the farm, I learned that goat milk is loaded with vitamins and nutrients, which is so nourishing for your skin, and I also learned that we share the same pH as goats, which is why Dionys' products moisturize so well and never leave a greasy feel. I've been using and loving the goat butter lip mask, the vanilla bean being my favorite,
And honestly, it's been a game changer. Everyone's always asking what I use on my lips, and there's truly nothing like it. It gives you the softest, most hydrated lips ever, and it actually lasts, unlike every other lip balm and mask I've tried before that I constantly have to reapply. But what I especially love about Dionys is that it's clean, cruelty-free, and designed to be simple. Plus, it's women-founded and women-led, and if there's one thing I've made clear on For the Girls, it's that we support the girls. These women know their stuff, and I love everything they do. So if you want to give your skin a little extra love today, check out Dionys Goat Milk Skincare. You can find them at DionysGMSkincare.com. That's DionysGMSkincare.com. Use code FTG20 to save 20% off site-wide. Again, that's code FTG20 to save 20% off.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.